Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. If you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.
Welcome to the Dirty Playologist. It took some doing, but we drugged Keisha and Barb into the studio to record. They're going to be digging deep and getting to the roots of play. Things like knowledge, skills, understanding, and power. Here are your hosts, Keisha and Barb.
Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to the Dirty Playologist. This is Keisha here with my lovely co-host,
Barbara Sheridan. So today we're back on the hot seat, but it's your turn to take a seat.
My turn. I'm excited, actually.
So I think there's a few questions that I'm using that we used for me, just because I think people might be curious about you. But I have a few new ones to throw in, too, so we shall see. So I will start where you started, which is, how did you start your center?
I started my center. It's kind of an interesting story. I wanted to have a program since I can ever remember. And the issue was money, for the most part. So another thing that I also used to do, or another thing that I'm passionate about, is dance. So I used to teach in a before and after school program, and I would teach dance and I would teach cheer. And after a while, I started my own program. So my goal was to do that and save up the money so that I can eventually open up my program. Well, that turned into a big dance studio, which I really enjoyed doing, and I love so many aspects of it, but it was always something missing. Like, I didn't have that that every day with the same children, being able to observe them playing for over long periods of time. It just wasn't hitting that spot that I needed. So I sold the dance studio, which I built up over time. I sold it, and that's how I was able to invest in a business that was an indoor play place. So it was like a place where parents came with their children. So I did that for a while, but guess what? That didn't hit the spot either. That nothing was really what I wanted to do. And I knew what I really wanted to do was preschool. So I sold that business and first started with a small home program. And that grew really quickly. So the little town that the house was in, there were two buildings as you drove into town, and the moment I laid eyes on them, I was like, I want those. That's where I wanted my school to be at. So I went into the building one day, kind of snooping around. It was like an antique shop, and two little, older ladies owned it. And I just thought, they'll never leave. You know, they seemed so happy and they were so perfect there and all the things are set up. But I snooped around and I was like, you know, this is where I would put that, and I would put tables here. I had this whole, like, I did. And they were like, can I help you? And I'm like, oh, no, just looking around. So, oddly enough, about a month later, I heard through the grapevine that they were closing. So I immediately got on the phone with the local real estate agent, found out who owned the building, what, you know, what the deal was. And next thing you know, I had my dream building. Now we moved to the building across the street, which was my other dream building. So that's the way it all started.
Wow, I did not know that about you. So you must be able to dance then.
I can. I can dance and I can teach dance.
Wow. And you were one of those crazy ladies behind the counter when all the kids are screaming and running around the play place.
No, I was never behind the counter. I was down there with them because, you know.
Oh, that's more fun, of course.
What I was doing was trying to meet a need I had, but I just couldn't afford to meet the need at the time. So I thought that this would fulfill that, you know, because it was all about being with children, but it ended up not being as, I think what I need is that connection. I need the same children. I need the same families. I need, you know, that long-term connection with a group of children, not kind of fly by night. And that's what mm-hmm. that was. Yeah.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Well, my next question is how long you've done it for, but I guess maybe what's the timeline on all of that?
Well, the timeline on that, when I did the dance studio, that was in the afternoons. It started out, I was working in a before and after school program and running their, like, dance program within there. So that was when, geez, I started childcare before I had my son, and I had him 20 years ago. So I've been doing this for about 23 years total, working with children in all different capacities, from directing summer camps, teaching kindergarten enrichment programs, preschool, school age. So I've worked with all ages and kind of all different facets of early childhood.
Wow. Okay. So do you think that you'll do this forever?
Absolutely forever. Like, I see myself, I almost sometimes am excited about getting old, which is weird, but I see myself sitting in the same rocking chair that I have in my classroom when I can barely walk, still doing it. Yes, I can't imagine not doing it.
Yes, same rocking chair, different reason.
Yeah.
Because you can't get out.
Yep.
Okay, so day-to-day basis, what do you wear?
It's different for me on different days, but what I try to be, I guess it would be considered what someone in an office would wear on, like, casual Friday. So I try to wear, like, presentable jeans and a nice shirt. Not super nice, but, like, maybe, like, a sweater or a cardigan, or maybe like a girl cut t-shirt with a cardigan on top or something like that. But whatever I wear, I have to not care about, because every single piece of clothes I have has paint on it. And it's hilarious because I try not to cross over, like, my weekend clothes with my work clothes. But of course, you wake up, you don't have laundry done, you got to grab some nice pants. So all of my clothes have paint on them. And I've just started owning the fact that I own a preschool, so my clothes are going to have paint on them.
Okay, second part to this question would be a follow-up for it. Mm-hmm. Funny story about walking into a place not realizing you have something on your shirt and or pants.
Oh, my gosh. That happens to me all the time. All the time. So, apparently, one of the kids, and I think I'm pretty sure who it was, thought it would be funny to take their paint-filled hands and put handprints on my butt. And I had no idea. I had no idea I had handprints on my butt. And I went to all these places all day, and no one told me I had handprints on my butt until I got home. And my husband was cracking up laughing at me. And he was like, geez, the guy you're cheating on me with has little hands. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then when I figured it out, it was hilarious. But, yeah, butt cheek hands all day. I mean, I remember I went to Walmart. Like, I went all these places, and I had butt cheeks on my hand. Handprints on my butt.
Oh, see, that's perfect, because my next question would be, what made you decide to become play-based? Because that story would kind of maybe keep people away from it.
For so much of my career, I worked in, typical preschool settings. I remember as a young child, like, when I say I was born wanting to do this, I was born wanting to, like, this is what I always wanted to do. Have there been other things in there along the way? Like, I loved dancing, so I kind of wanted to be a fly girl in the Living Color show, things like that. But I always knew that I wanted to be a teacher. Like, I have a place in my heart for that. But the difference is my definition of what a teacher should look like has changed over time. When I was mm-hmm. younger and I played school, it was all about me coming out with worksheets and pencils and making, I would knock on all the neighborhood kids' door. Like, they did not have a summer. Okay. We played, but part of that play was me knocking on everybody's door, having them come out, and we would play school. I was always the teacher, and that playing school looked a lot like what I think a lot of traditional preschool teachers think they're supposed to do. So I did that as a child. And when I studied early childhood and when I went into the workforce, it looked a lot like that. But it never felt totally right. And also, I have a playful personality. So within that structure or within those really developmentally inappropriate practices, I was very playful. So we would do a lot of play, a lot of free play, a lot of, even though I still feel like I had a big hand in it, it was still controlled. It was still only this amount of kids in this center. Oh, you can't take the blocks over there. The only reason why I ever did those things is because that's what was displayed for me. And I just took it as what I was supposed to do. That all changed. Must have been about maybe 6 years ago when I was working with a group of children in the home center that I opened. And we were just about to move. Well, when I left the last school I was at, I kind of was fed up with the typical way of doing things, or the traditional way in this area in the last mm-hmm. decade or so, that way of doing things, because it just didn't feel right. They would give me worksheets for the children to do that the children were not capable of doing, and I would have children crying and upset. And I remember one day I took the worksheet and I balled it up and I walked into the director's office and I said, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing it with my kids. So it was little moments like that kind of added up. And that's what really sparked me to leave that place. And I did not leave happy. Like, I left because I was upset. So leaving that place and opening up my own home program, I opened up that program with a huge focus on play and nature. So I did that, but it was still a lot of me in there. I still was doing themes, but I was just calling them studies or explorations or whatever name I gave them, but it was still too much of me in there. But right before we were about to move to the new school, I started moving materials over. So we were having less and less in our classroom, and we had to be more and more like open-ended loose parts, like kind of the leftover things that were there. And because it was the end of the summer and we were about to move, I just let go of any themes or any idea of studies. And it was the best thing that I ever did, because that's when I saw the children blossom. So that was what got me to totally let go and go with my gut that I had been feeling and that I had been kind of squeezing in from time to time. I was able to completely let go and go in that route. But I will say it's still been a development, even from that point that we opened the first discovery to where I am now. There, every year, there's a lot more letting go, a lot more reflection, a lot more thinking about why we do things and why we shouldn't do things. So sorry for the long answer, but.
Oh, it's very interesting. Okay, so what is your favorite season?
That's a hard one for me. I want to say spring, because I like the newness and I love the flowers and I love the weather. It's not too hot, it's not too cold, but I think I'm going to go with summer because it's hot enough to get in the water. And I really, really love having the door wide open, having kids running around in bathing suits with the sprinklers on. I love going down to the creek and the river, camping, all that good stuff. So either late spring or early summer is my favorite.
All right. And you talked about being outside with the kids and down in the creek. Have you ever had an animal encounter with children?
I have, and I'm not proud of it.
Uh-oh.
Okay, this is really, I am terrified of cats. Like, it may be a little cats, like terrified, like, and kind of grossed out by them, too.
Like little cats and houses?
Any size, yeah. Oh, okay, so actually, I have two cat stories, and you know what? The second one shows my growth. The first one, I'm ashamed about, okay.
Okay.
So I have this irrational fear of cats, and everybody that I know knows it. So I remember this was years ago. I was really young, and I had must have been a pre-K group. And I worked for the YMCA. We were taking the kids down to, there was like a little pond, and we were going for a walk. We're going to the little pond. And out of the tall grass comes this cat. I think it was a black cat. And it just jumped. I don't even, it probably didn't jump out. Maybe this is my crazy brain, but to me, it jumped out at me. And all I remember, and it was myself and another teacher. It wasn't just me. All I remember is just taking off. Like, I was gone. I was out of there. You would think I had no kids with me. I sprinted back toward the school. And then I must have been halfway back down the path before I thought about, oh my gosh, the kids. And I was like, kids! Kids, come on! And they just looked at me like I had lost my mind. That's the one I'm really ashamed about, because I was saving myself. Okay.
Yeah.
I was very young. Second story, I'm much more mature at this point. And we are, again, we're walking to the creek. I'm telling you,
They find you, don't they? They just find you.
Let me tell you, I'm not walking to the creek anymore. Okay, so we're walking to, this really wasn't a creek. It's like a playground with woods and a little, I guess there is a creek down there, a little water stream. And we're walking, I'm taking the kids, and we played at the park for a while, and I was like, let's go into the little path in the forest. And we're all walking, and this time I'm by myself, and I have eight children who are about average age 3. And I am not lying to you. All of a sudden, we get like in the center of the woods too. We get in the center of this path in the forest. And all of a sudden, there were at least maybe 8 cats. And they were, in the town where I'm at, they had this stray cat problem. And they were like junkyard bully looking cats. And one was like sitting on a stump. They were all just staring at us. And I remember the first encounter that I had flashed in my head. So I thought about it, like, I'm not going to leave these children. I remember taking a deep breath and being like, okay, guys, let's go. Turn around. They were still, like, resisting, like, what is wrong with you? Because we were half-big
walking cat, down the path.
At that point, they didn't even see the cat.
Children.
I don't even think they saw the cats at this point. Because we were, like, walking down the path, singing, happy, you know, having a grand old time. And then I just caught a glimpse of this cat. Just eyes. And then another one, and then another one. And before I could even, like, keep going, I was like, all right, guys, we're going back. And it was so funny because for the most part, they were all coming. But I had this one child, I'll never forget, little Olive. She dug her feet in the ground, and she was not coming. She sat on the ground. She totally tantrumed. She did not want to leave the forest. So I had to pick her up, and I was like, guiding all the kids back out of the forest, and they're just so confused, like, why are we? And that was it. I never, ever, ever, we never walked in there again. Like, I've never been back there, ever.
So anybody who is coming to the conference in June, if they bring a cat with them, you will escort them off the property. Is that correct?
I will have someone else escort them.
Somebody else will escort the cat. You will escort the person.
I wish I could figure out what, you know what, actually, I do know why I'm so scared. As a child, I overheard, like, it was like the equivalent of ghost stories, but it was stories about cats. And that reminds me how we need to be careful about what we say in the presence of children, because it could affect them for their life. And that affected me for my life.
And not only did it affect you, but it's also affecting the children that you work with.
Yes, it is.
And presumably your own children.
Yes, they will never have a cat. And get this, when I was a child, there was this one cat, like, outside my window, there was like I don't even know what that thing was, but it was kind of like a metal half circle, some type of vent system. And this little cat moved in there. And it was my pet cat, but through the window. Like, I would never, ever, ever touch it. I would never, ever, ever, like, go outside if it was out there. But through the window, I would, like, look at it and stuff.
So if there's a wall between you, it's like jail, right? If there's the pane of glass between you, then all is good.
I think so, but I don't know. I might have grown worse as an adult.
Hey, this is Jeff. You got to tune in next week for the rest of this episode. Sorry for the background noise. A bit of a storm going on here in the motorhome in Australia. Thanks for listening. Thanks for loving the shows. Bye.
This has been the Dirty Playologist. Back next week with another episode. Thanks for listening.
You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try.